3, 2, Log Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on Thursday, April 19th, 2007. It is now 6:31 Central Time in the good old USA. This station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Rio de Janeiro, Berlin, or Stalingrad. It's time for us to take back control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. I'd like to mention that this program is now can be accessed streaming radio on from our website at libertytalkradio.com, and also it can be accessed from blogtalkradio.com/libertytalkradio. I had to give a plug for Blog Talk Radio because they do provide us with many of the services that the station needs. And do visit their website. They have some very interesting programs. And good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, you can call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments on the air. At any other time, you may call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you can send your email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. And we'll try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. Well, today we are going to cover three areas, but before we do that, I want to promote a website. It's mytwocentsonline.com. The commentator, he also has a blog radio. He's on Blog Talk Radio also, and it's my with the numeral two cents.online.com. His name is Andy Sutton. Please visit his website. Listen to his broadcast. He is knowledgeable. He looks at things from a historical perspective, as I do. He tries to eliminate any of the prejudices and tries to stick with facts. And he does an excellent job of giving us, of teaching us what we really need to know so that we can think properly. So do visit my friend's website, Andy Sutton, mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numerical two. Okay. Today we're going to revisit the Trans-Texas Corridor. However, I'm going to make a little diversion. On Wednesday evening, I had the honor and privilege of attending a meeting. It was a part of a tour by Dr. Bob Bowman. He's conducting a Patriot tour throughout the United States. There's a minimal charge to for admittance, but it was very well worth. I think it was $6. It was very, very well worth. It was worth three, four times that amount. I have the utmost respect for Mr. Bowman, and he's done an excellent job on his tour. If it does come to your area, I encourage you to attend. He talks in his presentation. He takes the position of being President of the United States, making a State of the Union message to the Congress. And boy, does he let him have it, and he hits on most of the issues. Now, it is not the intent of this program to criticize him, and I don't mean to criticize him. But there are aspects of his presentation that I think are worth commenting on from an educational point of view. And this is the only reason why I say this. I have asked him to be on our show, and probably within 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have him on a show, and we will address these same issues that I'm addressing with you now. But this is to get you to think. Let me give you an example. He talked about the influence that multi-level corporations have on Congress, the electoral system, and also the money behind the government and how the money behind the government is really driving our nation. And very few people would be able to dispute that. I mean, that's an unfortunate fact of life. However, he doesn't offer a solution, but intimates that some of the solution might be in regulation. Now, we can't ask people to self-regulate themselves. If we think that the government is corrupt in that regard, we can't ask them to regulate themselves. That's a misnomer and is very naive. However, we could ask, we could change the rules of the game. For example, we could ask, we could enact a law, which would never pass, because you can't corrupt people to enact the law. This is, I'm talking both sides of my mouth now, by the way. Is this, if everyone ran, ran for one term, the term limits would be one term for everyone. 2 years in Congress, 4 years, whatever, in Senate, and right across the board. Well, this would take a lot of the dynasty stuff out of the system, and all people coming in would be people there for a very, very short period of time. And at the same time, if we allowed an approval voting system whereby anyone could get elected, because you could vote for or against anyone, in that case, then we would have a system where people would have at least a choice at the voting place. Instead of just voting for the Republican or the Democrat and not voting for the Independent, the Libertarian, the Green Party, the Constitutional Party, whatever, because you don't want to throw your vote away, you can vote for as many times as you want. You can vote for all three if you want. This will give the third parties a running chance. I think the answer is giving the third parties a chance. Now, unfortunately, we're going to ask the same corrupt people in office to change the rules to throw them out of office, and that would never happen. So I'm afraid that we are not really any further along on that. Mr. Bowman does not offer any solutions to that. And I think he needs to do that. But it cannot be further regulation, because all they'll do is word the regulations in a way that they can get around it, and then there'll be another congressional investigation. This will go on for another 50 years. That won't work. Okay. Now, the one that really bothered me was that he's not a libertarian, by the way, I can tell you that, but I mean, he's very close. He talked about universal health care. Well, he talks about the freedom of the individual, taking back America, whatever, but at the same time, he is advocating universal health care. Well, you can't really have both. You cannot say we are free people, we're going to abide by the Constitution, but we're going to be a socialist state. And that's basically what he's saying. Now, he doesn't say that, and I'm sure he doesn't think that way. And I'm sure it never dawned on him that by enacting or approving and then legislating universal health care, because every industrial nation in the world has it, we are in fact converting our system from one of free enterprise of the individual to one which is a socialist state. Why? Because we all give to the man, and then the man doles it out. Now, I'm sure the answer to that is, oh no, I mean, we'll be just be giving it to a central pot, and then it'll be given out. Well, everyone will be working for the government. Every doctor will be working for the government. Now, you cannot have a free society while a good portion, and the medical system that we have in the United States is a good portion of our economy, working for the government. Because what you've done is you just increased the size of this government. You didn't decrease it. So some of his solutions, although his heart's in the right place on some of these solutions, his mind is not in the right place because he's going in the wrong direction. And I wanted to mention that to you because when you hear that from politicians, radio talk show hosts, political pundits, whomever, economists, and they talk about the United States, they talk about adhering to the Constitution, and then they say something like gun control or universal health care, you're talking both sides of your mouth. We can have the only way to solve the health care crisis, so perceived health care crisis that we have here in America, and the high cost of medical care, and our cost of medical care is the highest in the world, and that's because we have a semi-system, private and public, and it doesn't work. It's just too expensive. There are too many forms, and it's incredibly frustrating for hospital administrators and doctors. The only way to solve the problem is not universal health care, but get the government 100% out. Let me give you an example of where we're going, why we're going in the wrong place. In the state of Oklahoma, they have this, and I forgot the name of the act, but it's Medicare for Children. And what they've done is they've increased the number of children eligible for free health care. Well, what they're doing is they're creeping up to universal health care. Well, now middle-income people can have their children's medical bills paid by the state. It's not being paid by the state. It's being paid by the stockholders, by the citizens, by the taxpayers. Now, the big problem there is our state is near bankrupt. And what they're doing is they're adding on more. But the politicians can't help that. They can't help that because what they are doing is they're buying votes. You know, they really don't care about the children. You know, and everyone, please spare me that altruistic the comments about the politicians and they want to do good. They don't want to do good. They follow the money. So, all right, and I just wanted to bring that up. Now, the second thing I wanted to bring up was the shooting that we had in the college where I think 33 people were killed, students were killed. You know, obviously, a horrendous tragedy. I mean, should never happen. And again, our hearts are in the right place and our minds go south. Why was he able? Why did he feel so empowered, this nutcake, to go in and kill everyone? You see, he felt he had the power and he did. And that power was the power of the gun. Now, folks, I'm a gun owner. I carry a concealed carry permit. I've been cleared by the FBI here, the state FBI, to carry a gun. And I do. Now, I haven't shot anyone yet, and I've had this thing for years. I've never pointed the gun to anyone. I've never drawn the gun out of the holster. I've been very fortunate. Now, my wife also is a concealed carry holder, and she carries a gun with her all the time. One reason, and what started this many years ago, is that she has two offices, and she's on the highway a lot, and sometimes she's traveling in the evening. Well, if my wife... her car stops and gets stuck, and she's on the side of the road, and some whack job decides to help her, you know, she, without her gun, she is absolutely defenseless. She weighs 118 pounds. She's not going to do much against a 300-pound bruiser. No, she's not a karate expert or anything like that. I mean, she's just toast. And I will not permit her to go back and forth on that highway. Not that it's a dangerous highway, but if something should happen, I feel better that she has her cell phone and she has her concealed carry weapon. Now, why am I saying all of this? I'm saying all this because you're hearing cries about gun control. Now, what the heck could gun control, what have gun control done to prevent this tragedy from happening? Absolutely nothing. Because anyone who wants to get a gun can get a gun. I don't care if they have the strictest controls. Let me give you an example, and it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to do with guns. All right, let's take the drug issue, the war on drugs. Right, where are drugs most prolific? In our prison system. Well, how could that be? I mean, these guys are locked up in jail, they're sealed, there are guards all over the place. How could drugs get in there? My point being is that you cannot control illegal contraband if people want it. There's absolutely no way. I mean, you'd have a police state couldn't do it. You know, even the Nazis couldn't do that. There were a certain segment of the population that still got guns and shot Nazis in the back every opportunity they had. Unfortunately, they started too late and there were too few. If there were a few more, we probably wouldn't have the Holocaust. But I don't want to compare us to Nazi Germany because we do that all the time and people get all upset about that. But I don't mean to do that. But my point being is that what if, let's play what if this nut job knew that students, by and large, concealed carry weapons? Would he have been empowered? Would he have felt powerful? Well, I don't know the answer to that question. I can't tell you how he felt or how he would have felt. However, if people were willing, if the schools would abide by the Second Amendment and allow people the right to protect themselves, yeah, maybe a couple of people would have been shot and maybe killed. But then that would have been over. Because if even 10% of the people, the students, carried guns, one of them would have drawn it and fired back. But my point being is not that you're going to have a great gunfight. Isn't that exciting? And, you know, and then, you know, maybe innocent people killed in the crossfire. And I understand that there's all risks that you take, but life's risks. Everything we do is a risk. We get in our cars, we get on the highway. That's a hell of a risk. You have a more of a risk of hurting yourself or killing yourself there than you do being shot by someone with a concealed carry weapon. But my point being is that would he have felt empowered if he knew other people had guns and they might use them or they may have used them? I don't know the answer to that question. But even if he didn't think that way, he said he still felt empowered. It would have saved dozens of lives. In other words, the guns would have saved lives. The absence of the guns created an environment where lives were lost and people were defenseless. Now, the argument is that, we have security police on campus. And what did they say? You know, there's thousands of students. We have a few police and we just monitor the area the best we can. Same thing with the police on the street. If I'm walking down in my neighborhood and someone decides to mug me, I'm mugged. Consider myself mugged, demugged. Now the police, I can't sue the police department and say, hey, this guy mugged me. You should have been there and stopped this guy. So I'm going to sue the city for negligence. I can't do that. And neither can the students do that for schools. Let's stop abusing the Second Amendment. People carry weapons responsibly. And will there be accidents? Yes. Will there be shootings when there should have been? Yes. Will it stop crime? Hell yes. Will it save lives? Absolutely. So all the politicians who are now going to get on the gun control bandwagon, I ask them, how are you going to control the guns? There are more guns outstanding in the United States than there are people. We can say, everyone hand in your guns. We have no faith. People have no faith in our government now. You think people today, you know, especially in states like Wyoming and Montana and Oklahoma, are going to say, oh, the government said we got to give in our guns. I'm going to give all my guns in so they can destroy them. You know, so the only people who have guns are the criminals. But I know the government knows better than I do, and they'll protect me. No one's going to, very few people are going to give them their guns. Just like overseas people given, you know, some old broken guns, and they keep the AK-47s that they polish every day at home. It's exactly what happened. That's exactly what I would do. All right, so I just want you to think, and none of this has to do with guns. It has to do with the Constitution. It has to do with our liberties, our freedoms, and the rights given to us, our God-given rights that we have to think about. And if you don't believe in God, it doesn't make any difference. It's our inalienable rights. Makes no difference to me either way. Okay, now, I want to get back to the Trans-Texas Corridor. Again, the only reason why I'm revisiting this is because I want to talk about our freedom and our rights, our liberties. Why does the state, why does the federal government have to sell us on a highway? It's not that the people want the highway. It's not that the people are building the highway. It's not that people are clamoring or going to marching on Washington said, if we don't have a highway going through Texas, our economy will suffer. It's not the local merchants. It's not the warehouses. It's not the mothers and the fathers of our children. No, it's the large corporations making deals. And you know what? This is interesting because this is exactly what Bob Bowman said. Multinational corporations, you know, dealing with our stealth government, the government that we don't, but when I say stealth government, I mean, I don't mean anything secret. I mean, the one that we don't see, the decisions that we don't see made. The stuff that we see, the State of the Union garbage message that we hear is just puke. All puke. I mean, we should never listen to it. I mean, there should be zero listening ship to the State of the Union because what they say there is for us. Then behind the scenes, they make all the deals. They don't say we're going to make a deal tomorrow. We're having a multinational corporation and we're going to sell steel to this country so we can do this. They don't tell you that. They tell you all the garbage. I never listen to any of that. I never listen to any State of the Union, State of State. That's all garbage. Because they never tell the truth. It's just meant for us. So we go, oh, geez, they're doing something. I know I'm cynical. I'm very cynical. I'm getting more cynical as time goes by. But this, it's the people who should be clamoring for the highway. Not the state shoving it down our throat. What bothers me is that there are signs all over the place saying, you know, support the Trans-Texas Corridor for tomorrow's future. What do you mean tomorrow's? What do you mean by that? I mean, it sounds good. Like, it's for our children. What do you mean it's for our children? You mean people have a 50-year plan. They're going to put in trillions of dollars, and it's for our children. Not that I'm going to make a profit. It's not that a highway is going to be owned by a foreign corporation and controlled by a foreign corporation and is going to tax citizens by a foreign corporation, which is totally unconstitutional. But it's for our children. And unfortunately, that's exactly how we think. And that's the reason for this program. This program is to get us to think. And we're not thinking, folks. Listen to your friends speak.
Well, it looks like we got to do that. It sure would move the alleviate the traffic around my area.
No, it's not going to alleviate traffic anywhere. There's going to be no exit ramps, no entrance ramps, nothing. It's going to bypass all the major cities. It's just going to be a truck lane. You know, what utilities are going to go through? How are they going to pay for this thing? Now, they all can pay for it two ways. They're going to tax the heck out of everyone, or they're going to make it a toll road. Well, if they're looking for a 12% return, and that's what they say they're looking for, a 12% return on the profit, that's phenomenal. If I got 12% return, guaranteed, hey, man, I'm an investment guru. You don't find the best of them doing that. The best you can find ever is 15%.
ever on a long-term basis. I mean, that's the creme of the creme de la creme. Most people don't come near that. 7%, they're lucky. They want 12% return for their investors. That means that's what it's going to cost. So if you want to move goods efficiently, you're going to have to pay a foreign corporation to move goods efficiently within the United States. I hope there is a revolution. If it starts in Texas, so be it. I'm originally from, not originally from, I'm originally from New York, as you can tell from my accent, but I lived in Texas. I lived in Houston, Texas for almost 4 years. And I hope that the people in Texas, they fly that Texas flag everywhere. I hope the people from Texas take this seriously and say, we're not going to take it anymore. We're just not going to take it anymore. It has, you know, it has little to do with anything other than the way we conduct business in the United States and whether or not it infringes on our liberty. And this infringes on our liberty. Just think of the eminent domain issues. The millions and millions of acres or square miles that'll be, not miles, but square acres. Square acres, that's a dumb thing to say. Acres, you know, that will be consumed by this highway and pipeline. Think of all the farms, all the housing, all the property that people own that they want to keep. And all of a sudden, because a multinational corporation owned and operated by by the way, it's a Mexican corporation. Isn't that a kicker? Mexican and Australian corporation, consortium, is going to tell you, sorry, you have to give up your farm. Our highway is going through. The highway will be a quarter of a mile wide. Crossing it would be impossible. The ecological impact would be immense. Folks, I guess at what point do we get hacked off? At what point do we say we've had enough? At what point do we say, I think we're going in the wrong direction? But we're becoming babbling idiots. We are. We watch television, right? We hear a lot of noise, but no one comes down to the basics as this station does. Very few people do. Now, as I promoted before, I'd like you to go to www.mytwocentsonline.com, and the two is a numerical two, and read. It's an excellent website. Also go to the Cato Institute, cato.org. Go to the futurefreedomfoundation.org. Go to the Foundation of Economic Education.org. Go to the American Institute of Economic Research. I mean, these are, the ACLU protects our freedom. Although we don't like their decisions half the time because they sound terribly, but what they're doing is they're abiding by the Constitution. They're saying these rights apply to everyone, not only the people you like. I don't know where we're going. I left that, we only have another minute to go, but I left the Bob Bowman tour presentation, and a friend of mine who was very much impressed. And he's not. He's a critic, you know. And he says I was impressed by that presentation. And he said, I really am afraid we're too far gone for any of this. He says, I think it's just we have lost it. We'll never come back. And he says, it's really depressing. And I think he's right. And sometimes I say, why am I doing this radio program? It's a tremendous amount of work for me. I have to prepare twice a week and get it. I can't tell you how much work it is. It's a tremendous amount of work. And I think to myself, I got to be nuts doing this. Anyway, I'd like you to tune in on Sunday evening. I'm going to have an interesting guest. Look at my blog. You'll get all the details at that time. And it'll be Sunday evening at 8:30. We're going to have an hour broadcast, and I do ask you to call in. One thing I forget to do, and folks, I apologize, is please call in 646-652-4620 during our live broadcast. Anyway, that is the end of tonight's broadcast. And we'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends.
and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned. From her eyes to behind.